Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's the man, John Lester. Pretty damn good last night, making you forget the two previous outings before the All-Star break. Seven innings, three hits, six strikeouts, one walk, 102 pitches, and follows up the Jose Quintana seven-inning start, the shutout seven innings that Quintana gave you on Sunday. And the question now is, can John Lackey come close to joining that group tonight? A very important start for him. Interesting, you know, for a couple of weeks here, we've been wondering out loud what the Cubs will do with John Lackey if he can't become a much more impactful pitcher in this rotation. And, you know, the 24 home runs he's allowed, a NL worst 24 home runs. Again, what do you do with him if, in fact, you know, Kyle Hendricks is about ready to come back from his second rehab start? Is there a third rehab start given the off day this week, Joe, that you get a little more conservative and say, okay, you got up to 63 pitches after 45 pitches for Kyle Hendricks. Do you try to give him a third start in the minors and get him up to 80 pitches and really get him stretched out and ready to go? But, you know, Paul Sullivan writing in the Tribune today, something that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. If you're taking John Lackey out of the rotation, what's the next move? The bullpen doesn't seem to be an ideal landing spot for him. And it was interesting that Joe entertained the question. He didn't. He just said, we're not there yet, because he was asked directly about, you know, it kind of jokingly, who gives the news to John Lackey about going to the bullpen, and, you know, who wants to have that job, Chris Bosio or you? And he went along with it. So, yeah, you, it's one thing to tell him he's come out of the game. Now you tell him going to the bullpen. But the idea that you would have to designate him for assignment and just say goodbye and pay him the balance of his $12.5 million contract and say goodbye to him and say, John, thanks for your contributions. You got your jewelry and go get yourself a haircut. But Joe said, this was in Baltimore, Joe said, we're not there yet. And John Lackey tonight can make sure they're not there yet by going out there. And I'm not going to suggest he's going to give you seven shutout innings, but it'd be nice if he gave you a quality start and kept the ball in the ballpark.
Yeah, it's that would be an embarrassing way to end his career.
Sure.
A guy that's had a heck of a career, and he has some history with Joe Maddon going way back at 38 years old. And, you know, you go over the last four starts against Tampa, six innings, three runs. You'll take that every time.
Sure, absolutely.
On the road at Washington, it was a blow-up game. He had to wear it, eight runs and five and a third. But before that, the two previous starts, Miami and Pittsburgh, he went six innings in both of those games, one earned run in each of those games. So three out of the last four, he's been there for you. But because of his demeanor, we make a big deal about John Lackey. And as far as Kyle Hendricks goes, couldn't go better than what you saw last night, or you heard about. I don't think anybody, how many people are watching the Smoky game or waiting for the Cubs game to actually get going. But yeah, looking ahead, because of that Thursday off day, do you squeeze Hendricks in here and just push everybody back a day, or you just let Lester go on Sunday, the last game of the St. Louis series? Quintana went this past Sunday, so he's scheduled to go Saturday. Arrieta, he's scheduled to go Friday. You don't have to really rush him in, even though it sounded like, okay, one more rehab start, everything goes well for Hendricks. Well, that's exactly what happened. But now you can also wait another start. You can have him go for a third rehab start. In his first rehab start, he threw 45 pitches. Last night, he threw 63 pitches, 43 of those strikes, which is exactly what you wanted to see. But there is no rush anymore.
No.
Before the Quintana trade, they're denying it, but before the Quintana trade, it sounded like there was a rush, that they were really contemplating throwing him out there after one rehab start and 45 pitches.
And we're going to visit with Mick Gillespie, the fine play-by-play guy down in Tennessee for the Smokies Cubs affiliate. And last week, you know, he said Kyle was going to Baltimore, join the team, and really expected to be pitching in that series. And before that, again, that was before the Quintana trade. That was a day before, I think, or 2 days before the Quintana trade, we were talking to Mick. So that was the Tuesday, and the trade was announced on Thursday. And it did seem like there was a sense of urgency or desperation to get him in there and see what you have here in order maybe to determine if you're going to make a trade. But they made the trade anyway. So,
well, did they make that decision knowing the Quintana trade was happening?
Yeah.
And
well,
then they
because
could slide
that was
in
the works, certainly, right?
Yeah.
Because they started talking in earnest again on Sunday.
It was all over Reddit. Con-
yeah, how about it? Don't go with the names again. 312-644-6767. Ryan, good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I got a question for you. I've been listening to you guys talking about the scenario of Lackey going into the bullpen. Is there a guy that the Cubs would target for a trade, maybe not necessarily a controllable pitcher, but like a rental pitcher that's out there that would be an upgrade for them if Lackey goes to the bullpen? I'll listen.
Well, you know, you have to, again, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You know, you have to start figuring out who the sellers are. And does Yu Darvish do anything for you? Does Vargas do anything? If you're talking about starting pitching again, do you believe, you know, we asked the question 5-5, are the Cubs in the market for bullpen help? Or are they still in the market for Sonny Gray or another starting pitcher? If it's not Sonny Gray, you know, who do you set your sights on? Most likely it would be a rental guy at that point. And again, who's selling at this point with the American League in particular? It's awful tough to determine who's in that group because the wild card is so congested, right?
I found this interesting. Your guy, Peter Gammond, you have a conversation with him every Friday on the Mullane Hanley Show. Here's what he wrote on his website about the deal for Quintana and what the Cubs were doing. They called the Tigers on Michael Fulmer, not available. They checked in on Chris Archer and were told the Rays think they can make the playoffs an inch closer to a real ballpark. Marcus Stroman would have cost them a player off their major league roster. Gerrit Cole was not available without players off their major league roster. The Athletics talked to them about Sonny Gray, but they preferred Quintana's consistency, not to mention his contract. So they were certainly checking in on every starter, whatever they could do. I just think they're going to ride this one out. I think they're going to see what they can do with Lackey. If not, they can find one of those three guys to be okay every fifth day. That, as far as the rotation goes, I think they're set as long as we're not dealing with another injury, especially what you saw out of Hendricks last night. It seems like he's really ready to go. They're being extra cautious with him.
And you know that goes back to our conversation about Hendricks. How many starts do you want to see him before the trade deadline, right, to make sure whether you do need another arm or not?
Yeah.
So do you take that conservative approach we were talking about because of the off day, or do you try to hustle him in there and get a couple starts under your belt before the trade deadline to determine if, in fact, you're still the market for a rotation arm?
Yeah, I think they just want to see one and see how he comes out of it, have the extra time to wait and see. So I could see a third rehab start, but it'll be interesting coming up. We'll find out what he was saying after the game about it.
He's Joe Ostrowski. Joe O sitting in for Mike, who's on vacation. This segment of the show is brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts. 312-644-6767 is our number. Tech Zone up and running, brought to us by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. 670-11 if you want to text to the show. We'll bring you a Kyle Hendricks update on the other side of these on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Kyle Hendricks post second rehab start down in Tennessee. And let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline where we find our friend Mick Gillespie, the play-by-play man for the Tennessee Smokies. Your CarX man has air conditioning performance checks starting at just $19.99. Kyle Hendricks, 5 perfect innings last night. Good morning, Mick. How are you doing? It's becoming a regular appearance here on the show, and we always welcome you here with the Mullane and Hanley Show. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. What do you say, guys?
Well, last week it sure sounded like Kyle wanted to be part of the Cubs rotation and not heading down for a second rehab start, but got up to 63 pitches yesterday after 45 last week. Do you know, I'm sure he wants to come back and be part of this probably in St. Louis, but do you know what the plan is? Did he allow that there could be a third rehab start in his future?
Yeah, I didn't get that impression, but I didn't get that impression last time. I think you nailed it. The Quintana trade really changed the flexibility that the Cubs had for something like this. You know, it was like before that trade, you felt like this team was kind of going down this bad spiral. And then I was in Baltimore for those three games there. And, you know, after they won that game, you know, Friday night, you could just feel it. Like, there was a lot of energy, you know, Quintana in the clubhouse. You know, they win the next day, and then he pitches on Sunday and looks great. And we asked Hendricks about it yesterday, and he's fired up and excited about adding him. So, and besides that, I mean, you look at the performance from last night. First off, you know, 89, averaging around 87. That's Kyle Hendricks. You know, he was pinpoint with his accuracy, 63 pitches, 43 for strikes. And he didn't get up, you know, didn't allow a base runner. I mean, this was a perfect game into the ninth inning. They retired the first 25 batters. And it's always funny when Hendricks pitches, because he's that guy, you know, a lot of us played, you know, baseball at some point in our lives, that you see this kid pitching and you're going, oh, I can hit that. I know I can hit that. And you go up and you can't hit it, you know. And then the next guy comes in and he's throwing 96. And then, you know, it's so different than what Hendricks does, you know. And it's like same thing in the big leagues, you know, when you bring the relievers in, it just messes up the hitter so bad, you know. So he was so good yesterday, you know, breaking bats and, you know, a lot of bad swings. And it just really felt like the Kyle Hendricks that I remember from him being the Southern League Cy Young Award, or, well, you know, whatever, their ERA winner and best pitcher in 2013, and then the guy that we saw last year.
And he went from the front office that was there to watch the two starts, or are they just relying on what the coaching staff and the video tells them?
Yeah, good question, Joe. Last time, I want to say Jason McLeod was there, and the scouting director, Matt Dorey, was there. I didn't see any of those guys yesterday. Now, I got back from Baltimore pretty late, so I didn't. They could have been there, but I didn't hear anyone talking about them, and I didn't see them.
You know, it was interesting. I think Chris Bosio last year off the air told Mully and me that, you know, people don't realize that Kyle Hendricks has four different changeups. And so it's all about how he mixes and matches those pitches. Did he use his full repertoire yesterday?
Yes, and that was what I was telling my partner in the booth, who hadn't seen him except the last time he pitched. What makes Kyle Hendricks just so deadly is not his only the accuracy that he has. And for him, I mean, you know, he can go into the bullpen, they throw 25 pitches, you know, he'll put 24 out of 25 exactly where he wants, you know. And then that's not normal, but for him it is. But it's also his ability to add and subtract, you know. And you talk about the different changeups, and it's like, you know, this one may cut, you know, this one we're going to, you know, take a little bit of speed off, we're going to add a little bit. So you say, well, 89 miles an hour. Well, 89, when he pitches, looks like 95, 96 when he's able to throw those other pitches in there. And then the other thing, too, is he's got to live on the corners, you know. And so last time, you know, I didn't think that he was anywhere close to as good at that as he was yesterday. And I could tell after the game, too, that he knows that he's where he needs to be. You can just feel it, you know. And then you get him back to the big leagues where this team is right now, and I know the Cubs have some tough decisions to make with other pitchers, but the rotation with the way everyone's pitched first time through, the energy that they have, and then the other thing is just putting the World Series behind them and kind of focusing on this year. I like the direction this team's going.
So what do you think they end up doing with the off day that they have on Thursday?
I mean, I can't imagine him coming back and throwing another minor league start. I mean, so he threw 63 pitches in the game last night, and then he went into the bullpen and probably threw up to 80. Well, I mean, by the time next start comes around, maybe he's at, you know, 90, 95, and they don't really let anyone go much over 100, you know? So why would you want to waste that somewhere else when you could put that in, you know, and to the big league, you know, rotation? I'm guessing, that's just my own guess, but I was really surprised that he came back, because the feeling that I got last time before the trade was that, you know, I could tell there was a sense of urgency with him, and I'm sure it extended to the team. I think the trade has really taken a lot of that pressure off the entire clubhouse. I think that's why it's a great trade. You know, these guys, they still have the nucleus there. We all know to win the World Series again, you know, and that's not an understatement. But making that trade is just kind of you know, gotten everybody focused again, maybe taking some pressure off guys like Hendricks. Now it's just like, hey, let's go out there. I'll do what I do. You do what you do. Look at how well Lester pitched last night. So I'm thinking that he's probably going to be back in the rotation again. And if he's not, one more, and then he's there. But, you know, to me, I mean, just my gut feeling is, you know, what he showed last night, you could use that when you're taking on the Cardinals next, you know, for him would be the next series.
Yeah, we have a texter here saying, would they ever go to a six-man rotation? I'm not a fan of that. I know that the guys like Arrieta and the veteran pitchers aren't a fan of that. Do you see the benefits? I mean, it was one thing last year when you had the big lead and you're just trying to preserve arms into October and get, you know, guys 4 or 5 innings of work. But now you're in a race. I don't know that that really serves anyone's purpose.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. And I've thought about this. There was a pitcher that the Cubs had that was from Japan, and his interpreter and him and I talked about one Cubs convention about playing baseball in Japan and how they use a six-man rotation there and how there's a lot less arm injuries. You know, the issue is that you're not going to get your top guys as many starts. You know, and when my dad grew up, you know, all I heard about was 4-man rotation, you know, and there was one team that had 4 20 game winners, you know,
yeah,
back in the 70s. And that just, you know, we've gotten so far away from that now. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you had the right 6 guys and everyone was healthy, but it's tough to do that when you're not up by, you know, 10 games in the standings. You know, now you're still trying to catch Milwaukee. So I feel like you got to have your best 5 guys out there, but you know, I could see a scenario certainly where they would do it, and if there was a manager that would consider it, it's definitely Joe Maddon.
Yeah, Mick, we'll let you go. You mentioned you're getting back from Baltimore late, and you are a Baltimore native, and I got a kick out of Len's story on the air the other day that you spoiled him. He can't have crab cakes anywhere else because you took him to the best place in the world for crab cakes in Baltimore. Moe's, is that the place?
Yeah, we all went to Moe's one night. That's a good stop, one of the places close to the Inner Harbor. But yeah, they handed me the menu, and they're like, hey, would you tell us what to get? And then I said, yeah, sure. And we ordered it. It was a great time. Mark Brady, one of the producers on Cubs TV, you know, he's just a huge fan of the show The Wire. And so, you know, he had ventured around the city and tried some stuff. And so I was trying to get him a little bit more local with, you know, kind of the way that we do things there. So yeah, that was
as long as they handed you the menu, not the check, you're good to go.
Well, those guys make the big money. I mean, I'm still in the minor leagues, whether I'm in Baltimore for 3 days or not. So
yeah, no credit card roulette for you.
not yet. Hopefully one day, but right now.
Always a pleasure. Always appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll see you up here in Chicago soon enough.
Yeah, good talking. Anytime you guys need anything.
Thanks, Mick. Mick Gillespie, the voice of the Tennessee Smokies. He can't imagine Kyle Hendricks gets a third start, doesn't see the need for it, and that's how good he was last night and went through a bullpen session after 63 pitches and 5 innings of perfect baseball.
It's going to be an interesting decision. You can make a case
either way. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll see. Since they've come out 4-0 to start the second half, not as much pressure to get him back in that rotation.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Dustin. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline where we find Mr. Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. Your CarX man has air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fantastic, guys. How are you?
Doing well and really enjoying the position-by-position breakdown of your Chicago Bears as we are 8 days out of Bourbon A and enjoyed the weekend story that you wrote as well about how to watch your quarterback competition that's really not a competition.
I was about to stop you in your tracks right there. Yeah, not a competition. I had this idea as we were getting into late June and then again sort of surfaced around July 4th. Like, look, we haven't done this in a while, right? We haven't gone to Bourbon A with any type of intrigue about the quarterback position. So here we are with 2 new quarterbacks. 3 really, if you include Mark Sanchez, but let's not for this, you know, discussion. And let's keep our heads, right? Let's not get too crazy and just pepper these guys with questions all the time about Trubisky starting and when is he going to play, because that's not how the Bears are operating here. And they see these guys developing on parallel tracks. Now, it's up to Trubisky to change that. If he can go down there and really play out of his mind and show that he's ready, I think the Bears would, you know, be open to making that assessment when the time comes. But really, that's unforeseen. I mean, this is Mike Glennon's job, and I think there are people in the organization who would like to keep it that way all season, because it would mean that Trubisky is developing. And one thing I want to emphasize is that for everything Ryan Pace did to aggressively cast this net wide for the quarterback of the future and then really fall in love with Trubisky and want Trubisky, at the same time, he understands what a lot of NFL evaluators believe about Trubisky, and that is he's not ready. Only 572 pass attempts in college. He needs seasoning. He's not ready yet. Pace understands that while still liking his tools. And so this is what we have when we go down to Bourbonnais next week.
Yeah, and Rich, like John Fox, I'm sure you'll be sick of the Mitch Trubisky questions. But so Glennon's the guy. How do they handle the quarterback reps?
Yeah, it's a good question. And still, even during OTAs, it wasn't entirely clear, if only because Mark Sanchez missed some of that time. Remember, he hurt his knee while we were all standing on the sideline there. I think that the way I see this playing out is once we get to the regular season, I think Glennon is going to be the starter, and I think Sanchez is going to be the game day backup, at least to start. That means Trubisky would be inactive on game days. But, you know, so for as much as Mark Sanchez needs to get up the speed in the offense and take some reps to make sure that he can function as the game day backup, at some point, you have to just rely on his veteran experience that he's going to stay after practice, that he's going to stay in meetings later, because you've got to get Trubisky going. And so those, in terms of practice reps, at least once we get through the first week, those are one and two, Glennon and Trubisky. That's the way I see it. Now, they're also trying to do things to even squeeze more reps in with that divide. And one of those things is virtual reality. They are they had this at OTAs, virtual reality cameras behind the quarterback. So everything that they run in practice is recorded with the virtual reality technology. So later on, both quarterbacks can go strap on a virtual reality mask and go through practice reps with what they're supposed to see and the way things are laid out and the reads they have to make. That's one way. The other way I'm interested to see is if they divide the fields between first team on one field, second team on another field, rather than just have everybody in team drills on the same field with all the coaches. If they were to divide fields, they'd have to divide up the coaching staff a little bit. Maybe Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, goes with one quarterback. Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, stays with another. We didn't see that a lot in the spring, so it'll be interesting to see if they do that this summer.
Yeah, I'm all for virtual reality as long as no one's looking for Pokemon down at Bourbonnais. Is that
a
thing?
Or
is
that a couple years ago?
Yeah. Hey, Rich, 5 and 5, we asked the question, other than quarterback, which position will you be watching at Bears camp? And I think we came up with 5 different answers. It's everything from the pass rush to the secondary to the offensive line. Which ones intrigue you the most?
It's wide receiver.
Yep, and there was one of the answers as well, yeah.
Yeah, for me it's not even that close, because my big question about this team, coming off 3-13 and coming off a year when they were tied for 28th in the NFL in scoring, is how is this team going to score? And how are they better than they were a year ago without Alshon Jeffrey in terms of getting in the end zone? Now, as we know, Jeffrey, you know, being in and out of the lineup at times, they're, you know, were problems getting in the end zone even with him. So that's what I want to see in Bourbonnais. How is this passing attack developing so that they get in the end zone? Now, I think the answer to that question is going to come from the tight ends a little bit, because you can see how they would use Adam Shaheen, you know, the 6'7" tight end that they drafted in the second round. He's going to help out. But Kevin White, can he be explosive? Can he stretch the field the way they thought he would before he broke his left leg twice? Can Marcus Wheaton be the deep threat that he was for the Steelers when he had seven catches of 40 or more yards between 2014 and 2015. I want to see the receiver group come together and give this offense a little bit of an edge, because what are these quarterbacks going to do if the receiver group stinks? I mean, these guys need weapons around them, and it's all still got to come together, because on paper, it's just not a group that's going to keep defensive coordinators up at night right now.
What's the scenario the Bears are not in last place in the division?
Well, it probably involves some injury problems on some other teams. And I'm not trying to be flippant about that, but that's where their roster is. This is the last place team until further notice. So it probably involves a quarterback injury on another team. It involves the Bears staying healthy, which is not something they've done in the two seasons under John Fox. They're going to need 16 games out of their quarterback. If Mike Glennon is playing and he's still in the lineup, it means he's playing well. So good quarterback play is the whole reason for this hard reset they've done. So they need that. And then to go back to Brian's point about the outside linebackers a second ago, that in particular is a group that has to stay healthy, because I think you can look at the players they have, whether Leonard Floyd, Willie Young, Pernell McPhee. Those guys can get after the quarterback when they're healthy. And the problem last year is that these guys were just rotating in and out of the lineup. They had no continuity. And Willie Young was the only guy who played the whole year. And he was still hurt. He still had off-season surgery. And the Bears still were in the top 10 in the league in sacks per pass attempt on defense. So they've got to get after the quarterback more consistently and start forcing some turnovers. I mean, that 11 turnovers from a year ago that tied the NFL low single-season record, that's insane. 11 turnovers was all they forced. That's got to go up. It starts with the pass rush. And so those three things, health on other teams, health and good quarterback play, and then outside linebackers, I think are three big things that are going to have to prop them forward.
So we have the hard reset. You said this is the last place team unless injuries to other teams happen. Given that, well, I think a lot of Bears fans believe that this is John Fox's last season, no matter, unless they surprise the league and the world and are plus 500, maybe even a playoff team. Is that accurate way to look at this thing? And the hard reset might have bought Ryan Pace some time, but not necessarily the head coach?
Well, I think that there's one fact that this discussion starts with, and that is since George Halas stopped coaching the team, no Bears coach has survived three straight losing seasons. And that's just a fact. And the same family has owned the team the entire time, so you understand that that's the family standard. And that discussion can start there. Whether we can speculate beyond that, I think 9-23 over two seasons. Now, this is the NFL. It buys you that type of speculation about job security, and it's going to be up to Fox's staff to develop some of these players. And this goes back to the discussions we were having the day after the draft ended. But if you're Fox and you're looking at this draft class and you're wondering who's going to help me now, the answers aren't exactly jumping out at you. I mean, Adam Shaheen is going to have to be the flag bearer for this draft class for a while. And I do think Pace buys himself time, because he's going to be judged on how good Mitch Trubisky ends up being. I mean, that is the first line of his resume, and it's in bold-faced ink. So I do think you're right in that assessment, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I mean, I said this in years past. When we get to the end of the year, there's a feeling that you get about the team. It's not just the record. We call it a brand of losing, right? I mean, is it are they 6-10, 7-9, and it's a losing record, but are they playing well or better at the end of the year? Or is it like last year where the bottom falls out and there's really no end in sight? We'll get that feeling once we get to December and on through, Thanksgiving. Then I think we can make a clear assessment. But I absolutely think it's fair context for the season as we go into it next week.
Rich, appreciate your time. There's going to be a lot of Bears conversation moving forward. I don't know what the Bears buzz down in Bourbon A is going to be. I know you have to get tickets, I guess, online to not that they're charging, but you can't just show up and get in line to go in and watch practices. But we'll see how Bears fans respond to 9 wins over 2 years and the new quarterbacks, and maybe there is going to be some excitement and at least interest to go down there and take a look at it. I'm not sure how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the quarterbacks are going to drive it a little bit more than in years past. I mean, I just remember last year going down there thinking, we got Cutler again, and so we know what he is, and you know, what are we looking for down here? I mean, Jeremy Langford and Kevin White, those things aren't exactly moving the needle in a way that a new quarterback situation does, especially the two guys they got here, one they paid a lot of money for, the other one they drafted second overall. So I do think, at least from the way I'm looking at it, that there's an extra bit of juice going down there.
Rich, thanks a lot. We'll talk soon. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Rich Campbell doing great work. He and Dan Wiederer breaking down all the positions as you head toward Bourbonnais. And each and every day you're going to have lots of Bears copying the Chicago Tribune. Check them out, chicagotribune.com. You got Molly and Haley on the score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.